Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Well, we've been going over this month as we've been going over the theology of us, and we've been getting into how do we lay like the boundaries and the pillars of healthy relationship. What does it look like for you and I to run together? Like, I love that we're doing church together, but can I tell you, doing church together is not enough. I want to know you by the Spirit, and I want to do life with you. We've all been raised in America where it's just like church is an easy concept. It's just so accessible. We all know what to do, and we go about our religion, and we keep it to ourselves. But we understand that if we keep it to ourselves, we're only fulfilling one part of the command. But there's an invitation to do the hardest thing in your life, and that's to walk out unity and relationship together, even through the most difficult things we'll ever walk through. Because I don't just want to go to church with you. I want to know you and do family and do life with you. And today, a day like today, is an incredible day to lay those pillars and lay those foundations. There's so many people here. I am still constantly introducing myself to people that have been here for months. And today's one of those days that we get to break some of those relational barriers and get to know each other. And I want to encourage you to like be missional about that today. You know, one of my dreams when I felt the Lord call me to plant Kingdom Life Church, it was actually, I shared this at the beginning of our sermon series. I'll just share it again. When I felt like the Lord called my heart as a young man saying to plant a church community, I need you to know that I had invitations to travel the world and do itinerant speaking. I had invitations to take over other churches. I had invitations to write books and to do conferences. I had invitations to do mission schools and all that. But it was actually on a 30-day preaching tour that I was across Europe, and I was in Germany, and I was in a small town called Herrenhut. Has anybody ever heard of Herrenhut, Germany? It is a small, like, 2-acre plot of land. It is, like, almost nothing. And it's more than that. It's, like, 100 acres. But it's like, a small community in Germany. It borders Poland and the Czech Republic. And I was speaking at a missions base there. And I began to dig into the history. And I began to find out that the history of Herrenhut was that a group of Moravian exiles were given an opportunity to leave the religious persecution of the Roman Church, and they were invited to a plot of land by a guy named Nicholas von Zinzendorf. Is that not the most German name you've ever heard? Nicholas von Zinzendorf. And he invited them to get away from religious persecution and pursue the Lord as they desired to. But when he brought them in, he brought in Presbyterians and Baptists and all these different ranges of belief, and they're all living next to each other. And they begin to quickly find out that their religion was not pulling them together. It was actually dividing them apart. And this group of Protestant exiles and outcasts from their nation building community, here they are in trying to rebuild their life. And they're angry with each other. They're refusing to talk to each other. They're starting gossip and rumors about each other. They're going to the pastor and complaining about each other. And Nicholas von Zinzendorf said, enough is enough. And he threw what he called a love feast or a love banquet. And he invited everybody to come. We're going to take communion together. And when he invited them to come to come take communion together, people began to stand up. He began to speak about the wounds of Christ and about the forgiveness that Jesus had for you and I in our sins and how we were to forgive one another. And as he's sharing this incredibly riveting message on the cross, all of a sudden people begin to stand up and saying, I'm so sorry that I stopped talking to you. I'm so sorry that I held a judgment against you. And people began to repent to each other. And as they began to repent to each other, the Holy Spirit came so strong in the room, they all ended up on their faces. And the presence of God came through like a mighty rushing wind. Some people said that they literally got up off the ground wondering if they had all died and gone to heaven because heaven was so close. And it says that after that day, someone stood up saying, whatever just took place, I never want it to end. I will sign up to doing 2 hours of prayer once every single day. Will anybody join me? And somebody else signed up, and somebody else signed up. And before you know it, they had 24 hours of worship and prayer covered for over 100 years unbroken. Come on, somebody. 100 years of unbroken worship and prayer out of this small community of outcasts. And it says that God began to press on their heart that they would be sent to the nations to go after outcasts like themselves. And they begin to sell themselves into slavery. And they begin to send out missionaries to lead actual slaves in slave ships and in fields to the Lord. And they sold themselves back into slavery so they could reach the unreachable. And it ended up leading to one of the greatest harvests of souls the world has ever seen. You and I are saved in a Christian nation partially because of the faithfulness of Moravians. And my encouragement, you know, is I remember like getting all this history, and I remember asking the Lord, when I get off this tour, what are you calling me to? And I remember standing on this prayer tower, overlooking all of the graves of missionaries that had laid down their lives for the gospel. And I remember the Lord saying, Jamie, I want you to plant a community, and I want you to get exiles, and I want you to get outcasts. Do I have any exiles and outcasts here? Come on. And God would change a people's identity, and that we would build a community, and that we would sow our lives for the sake of revival. And we wouldn't just do it as a church slogan. We wouldn't just do it as a church mission and vision, but we would do it as a family, fighting for a relationship and actually doing life and raising children together and living a vulnerable relational life that builds the kingdom and sees the kingdom of heaven advance in the earth. And I'm telling you guys, you're going to have to bury me in this backyard, and I will sow blood into the land of New England, because I am not leaving this land until I see his kingdom come and revival come to New England. And I'm going to do it with a family. I'm going to do it in the trenches of relationship. I'm going to fight for connection. And I feel, I just want to break the religious code and to do an authentic move of the Holy Spirit with people that actually like each other. Is that all right? And so I think today, days like today are good days to start to like each other. Play together. Dunk your pastor. Go with me to Ezekiel 37. I just want to share something really quick, and I want to speak to our identity today. I'm stepping out of the theology of us, even though I just gave you a sermon. I want to talk really quick just about our identity, and something's been stirring on my heart, and it's so hard for me when I'm in a sermon series, because I want to be obedient and stick to the sermon series, but I get all excited about other messages I want to preach, and I'm not allowed to preach them yet. And so I'm taking a break so I can preach one of the messages I'm excited to preach. Is that all right? Let's read Ezekiel 37. Before we do that, let me say today, I want to call out your supernatural DNA. I want to call out your identity today that says that you are one of the most important people on the planet. And that what's on your life is actually the wisdom and the strategy of heaven to change the world around you. And I think today's one of those days where it's time for a group of people to be volunteers in the day of his power, Psalm 110. And they will be volunteers in the day of our power. It says, from the womb of the morning, from that we will receive the dew of our youth. And it says, and they will be volunteers in the day of our power. How many of us know Maine is the womb of the morning? That light over a nation is birthed from the shores of Maine. And I think a volunteer movement of yes people that say, yes, God, here I am, send me, would emerge from this like welcoming, triumphal tribe of people to see revival touch Maine and go to the nations of the earth. And I want to speak to that DNA today. Go with me to Ezekiel 47 and let's read this. It's a passage you all know, but I want to turn your attention to a few things. Ezekiel 47 says, and then he brought me back to the door of the temple. This is a prophetic vision Ezekiel's having. And there was water. It was flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate, and he led me out on the outside of the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. And the water came up to my ankles. And again, he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. And again, he measured 1,000, he brought me through the water, and it came up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000. It was a river that could not be crossed, for the water was too deep, the water which must one swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" And then he brought me, and he returned me to the bank of the river. How many of you guys know that there is a river that flows from the throne of heaven? Jesus is sitting on a throne, the overcoming king, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lamb who was slain has overcome, and he is now enthroned over the heavens and the earth. There's not a battle still to be won. He's enthroned and he's victorious. And from under his throne, there is a river. There is a river. How many of you guys know that we need the river of the Holy Spirit to flow over our nation? We need the river of the Holy Spirit flowing into our home. We need the river of the Holy Spirit flowing over our family. We need the river of the Holy Spirit flowing over our marriage. We need the river of the Holy Spirit flowing into our workplace. How many of you guys want to walk into your workplace and begin to see the river of the Holy Spirit begin to move in your workplace and begin to touch lives? Hey, so Oakland, Maine needs a river that flows from the throne of God. Portland, Maine, Augusta, Gardner, Hollowell, Dresden, we need a river. And it says that wherever the river goes, it continues on. And it says that their trees are planted on both sides of the river. He said, when I returned there along the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, this water is flowing towards the eastern region. It goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. You know what's amazing about that is that where it's flowing was the Dead Sea, the deadest place on earth. Nothing living can actually survive that. And it says that there's a river that flows from the throne of God. And when it reaches the Dead Sea, the saltiest, deadest place on earth, even there, everything comes alive. Come on. How many of you guys know Maine is not too far gone? How many of you know America is not too far gone? Your family is not too far gone. Your son, your daughter, your spouse is not too far gone. You go, man, it's the Dead Sea. There's no chance. And I'm telling you, wherever the river goes, even the Dead Sea comes alive. And it says there'll be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. I'm going to say that again. It says, wherever the river goes, it will be healed and everything will live. And it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from the En-Gedi to Englam, and they will and will be places for spreading their nets. And their fish will be of the same kind as with the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many, but its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt along the bank of the river on the side, and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food, and their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. And they will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food, and their leaves will be for the healing of the nations. You know, one of the things I want to help you see is we've read this all the time, right? And he measures the 1,000 cubits. How many of you guys have ever pictured this and he's walking from the shoreline? I want to present to you that he's not walking from the shoreline. He's actually walking from the gate where it's flowing from. It actually says in Ezekiel 37 that there was just a trickle that was coming out of the throne. There was just a trickle out of the side of the gate. And then he says he begins to measure 1,000 cubits. And all of a sudden that trickle has become a stream up to my ankles. And then he goes a little further. He's measuring down the line, not across it. And when he's measuring, he's saying, as it goes, it will only increase intensity. and where it flows from, it's only starting from a little bit, but it's going to grow to something far bigger than you can ever imagine. This is why it says faith with a mustard seed could literally dislodge a mountain. Why? Because it might start somewhere small, but I'm telling you that when the river starts to trickle over your life, it will never stay a trickle. It will become an uncrossable river. It's got to start somewhere where you say, Holy Spirit, come and begin to flow over my life. And it might feel like just a little bit. And it might just feel like you might just be in worship and you might just be in saying, God, I just want to feel your touch right now. And you get those goosebumps and you go, whoa, what was that? Was that a wind? And then you kind of go on. And then all of a sudden you start to feel a little bit more and it starts feeling like, man, I don't know if I could stand right now. Has anybody ever felt the trickle turn into a river on your life? And then before you know it, as that thing, the Holy Spirit continues to move over your life, it is no longer your life. There is a current. You don't control the current. The current controls you. And there's an invitation for you and I to be people that have been yielded to the current of the Holy Spirit. And it starts off with a trickle. And it starts off with a little bit of navigating in our life. But the more we yield our life to the move of the Holy Spirit, the increase will come and become overwhelming over our life. And then he says this, and man, there's trees planted on all the sides of the river. Guys, what are the trees? In Isaiah 60, Jesus stood in front of all of the teachers of the law. And he stood in front of all the religious folks and he read his reading in the temple. And when he did that, he made a declaration as he opened up to Isaiah 60. And he says, this scripture has been fulfilled and it sent shockwaves through the entire sanctuary. It says in Isaiah 60, this is what Jesus read. I'm sorry, hold on. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Come on, how many of you guys were brokenhearted, captives, and bound? And the gospel came in and proclaimed victory over your life, and it set you free. The Holy Spirit's anointed me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the oaks of righteousness, the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus is approached in Bethesda by a blind man. And Jesus approaches the blind man, and everybody believed he was cursed from birth because of the blindness that he was born with. And Jesus took dirt, and he spit in the dirt, and he created mud in his hands, and he wiped it on the eyes of the blind man. And it says that when he wiped it, he washed it and he opened his eyes. And the weirdest thing happens in Mark chapter 8. Jesus says, can you see? And he says, yes, I can see. He goes, what do you see? He goes, I see men walking like trees. And then Jesus goes, oh, I opened your spiritual eyes. Hang tight. And he prayed for him again. And when he prayed for him again, his eyes open, and now he sees clearly. How many of you guys know this wasn't an accident? This is actually a prophetic fulfillment that Jesus came, that he would actually take captives, and he would take the brokenhearted, and he would actually proclaim the acceptable, favorable year of the Lord over their life, turn their mourning into joy, and then establish them as oaks of righteousness so that he could be glorified. And he opened his eyes to see these men are the fulfillment of Isaiah 61 in Ezekiel 37, the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And Ezekiel 37, where it says that wherever the river goes, there's all these fruit-bearing trees on both sides of the river. And they're bearing fruit in season and out of season. Guys, you are the tree planted by the river that flows from the sanctuary. You are the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he would be glorified. And this is really important because what comes out of your life, it says that your fruit will actually feed the hungry, and it says then that your leaves will bring healing to the nations. What comes out of your life is for feeding the hungry and healing the sick. The work of the Holy Spirit is not limited to your own personal freedom and enjoyment, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit is actually for the healing of the brokenness and the captives and those who are bound all around you. You have to understand that what he's communicating is that you are the funnel of heaven. You are his wisdom and you are his strategy. That he wants to flow into you, and that by flowing into you, bear fruit all around you. He doesn't want to bypass you in his plan. I think it's wild sometimes how we pray. We go, God, I'm asking you that you would go and change America and go to Washington, D.C. and go to Augusta, Maine and do this and go to that city and do this work. And he goes, oh, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it by touching your life, and your life is going to bear fruit, and I'm going to send you, because wherever you go is a place where heaven touches earth. You are fully his strategy and his wisdom for the godlessness of the world around you. Is that all right? You are the funnel of heaven. We are all walking in a lot of godless places, but it's not God's desire for the earth to contain godless places, and that's why he put you there. How many of you know it says that the whole earth would be full of his glory? But in Colossians 1, it says that Christ in you is the hope that God would receive glory. And then it says in Romans chapter 8, it says that the suffering that we're experiencing at this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that would be revealed in us. It says in Isaiah 60, it says the planting of the Lord, the trees of righteousness, planting of the Lord, that he would be glorified. Do you guys understand that you are his pathway to him receiving glory? And if the whole earth would be full of his glory, that means that God will uniquely assign you to godless places to attract glory in that place. Right now, we've had a team over the past couple days, one of the most godless places I've ever been. The entire month of August in Edinburgh, Scotland. And they've been on the streets praying for the sick, hosting worship and prayer in a local church. And they've been on the streets with 1 million people preaching the gospel, laying hands on people. Miracles are happening. Signs and wonders. Pain is leaving bodies. And people came to a godless place. And the place that was actually writing the glory of God out of the script is now becoming a place where incense of praise is rising from the streets of Edinburgh. Why? Because a people brought heaven to earth. And what once was godless has now become glorious. Are you getting me? Yes. Come on, don't tap out on me, because what God's doing in you is not just for you, it's for the world around you, and it's not just for them, it's so that he would receive glory. I don't think you get it. Come on. It says that you be fruitful. It doesn't just say trees. Some of you are enjoying some shade-bearing trees, but there's no fruit on them. It doesn't say just trees. It says that you'd be a fruitful tree, a fruit-bearing tree. In Psalm 1:1, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. For that person, listen to this, that person is like a tree planted by streams of living water. And they yield fruit in their season, and their leaves do not wither, and whatever they do prospers. In John 15, verse 7, Jesus talks about abiding in the vine. And I will actually prune those who bear fruit, and if you don't bear fruit, I'll throw away the branches. But then he says this, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask for whatever you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It says, by this my Father is glorified, because you are bearing fruit. What does that fruit look like? Yeah, it looks like laying hands on the sick. Come on. No one gets a get out of laying hands on the sick free pass. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He lives inside of you. Same Holy Spirit's in you that's in me. No one gets out of this one. You all will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Come on, none of you get out of the raising the dead, you know, mandate. It says that we will heal the sick, raise the dead. Come on, even some of you are freaked out by this one. You're called to cast out demons. And you will bear fruit in all of these ways. You don't get out of the bearing the fruit of becoming peacemakers in times of conflict. You don't get out of bringing racial reconciliation where there's brokenness. To be blessed, those who bless instead of curse. Those who forgive and release instead of holding judgment. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when the fruit of the Holy Spirit is bearing fruit in your life, your fruit is for feeding the hungry. Did you know that there's a whole generation of people longing to be forgiven and shown mercy? There's a whole generation of people that are asking, will anybody look at the flaws of my life and love me where I am? No one loves me. Will you love me? Do you realize that you, in your own strength, cannot love the unlovely, but the Holy Spirit, the river that's flowing through your life, can love the unlovable? Can actually break through all the judgments and all the fear and all the anxiety. It can actually touch a life and bear the fruit of love on someone's life. And this is for their healing. This is for their feeding what they're hungering and longing for. It says all creation's groaning and waiting for the revealing of sons and daughters of God. Why? Because creation is subjected to futility, not willingly, but the one who's subjected in hope that all creation would get delivered into the same liberty that you and I have tasted. You got liberty. Will somebody please go give the world the liberty that you've tasted? You've experienced the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, would you please go give it away? Because there's a whole generation that is longing and hungering and thirsting for a move of the Holy Spirit. And it looks like angst and anger and division, but it's actually hunger and passion and justice and crying out. Called to be fruitful. We must break out of any thinking that says, my faith is for myself. Your faith is not just for yourself, but out of abiding, out of a life in the Word, out of your yielding your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ comes a fruit that feeds the hungry and heals the sick. Don't you for one second, how many of you guys got the Holy Spirit working on you in the season? Anybody got the Holy Spirit working on you in the areas of trust, forgiveness, carrying peace? Do you understand that this fruit, this work is not just for you, but the breakthrough that you receive in this season will become fruit that's going to feed somebody else down the road? The work the Holy Spirit is doing in you cannot stay with you. And it says this, it says, and they bear fruit in season and out of season. Why? Because their water flows from the sanctuary. I'm going to end with this. God wants to bring the greatest fruit out of the worst seasons. God wants to bring the greatest fruit out of the worst seasons. How do we do that? By planting ourselves on the banks of the river. The river that flows from the sanctuary. You know the difference between a tree planted in a field versus a tree that's planted by a river. The tree planted by the field has to rely on the seasons, but the tree planted on the river has a source of life that will never run dry. We got to be a people that are planted. We have to learn how to drink through droughts and feast during famines. We have to be the trees that are planted by the river. That in my life, I'm planting myself. I love you all so much. But whatever crap you're going through, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not strong enough. You need the Holy Spirit. I love you. I think the world of you all. But that stuff you're working through right now, you will not be able to provide in your own strength. You will not be able to take care of your family on your own. You will inevitably fail and disappoint. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not asking you to plant yourself in a field. I'm telling you, plant yourself on the banks of the river that flows from the sanctuary. That in all seasons, even when it feels out of season, and God, what are you doing? And things are being torn apart and things are falling to the ground. This is not a season to go like, well, it's just a bad season. No, this is a season to bear fruit. And the only way to bear fruit in this season is to plant yourself in the waters that flow from the sanctuary. That in this season, don't rush and fix your own life. Yield to the move of the Holy Spirit. Don't just try to get your own solutions. Go to the Word and be a Psalms 1 man that doesn't sit in the counsel of the ungodly, but that goes to the Word and bends your heart to what God is saying. Someone who's yielded, God, I don't even want to do that, but I'm going to be faithful to you and do what you're calling me to do. We have to be a people that are planted. And this will bear fruit. And the fruit that is born in that season will be the very fruit that will feed people when they are out of season and can't find their way. This all right? I want to call it out of you because there's a yes that has to come in our hearts when we're walking through godless seasons and godless places, and to realize that it's not because you've done anything wrong, not because that there's an issue, not because that you are unfavored and unloved, or God's just trying to teach you a lesson, but he actually wants to teach you how to drink from the well that doesn't run dry. He wants to teach you how to plant yourself in the river and how to bear fruit in the season, how to be a fruitful branch even when he prunes you. Even there, he multiplies what's on your life because you are called to pour your life out for this city and your home and your family and your workplace and to bring heaven to earth. This is your DNA. This is God's wisdom and strategy. This is his calling on your life. You are some of the most stinking important people on the planet, and all creation's groaning and waiting for you to come into agreement with that truth and reality. Is that all right? So come on, why don't you guys stand with me?